Well, I'll tell you who it is first, but don't get up yet, because I'm going to introduce him. It's Lonnie Ellis, and what I want to say about him is that he is an elder of our church, and but I have seen him just take off, literally fly, amazing distances in a very short time. And the main reason is because of the yes in his heart. He says yes to whatever God wants to do in him and through him. And you know, those are two very different things. Sometimes we want to God, you know, to go through us and use us, but we don't want him to do whatever he needs to do in us. Well, Lonnie said yes to both of those things. And because of that, you're seeing a man that God is just using mightily, quickly. Take that as an encouragement to each one of you, that the same is true for you, can be true for you, if there's a continual yes in your spirit. So would you just welcome and honor Lonnie Ellis?
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Let's see. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Testing 1, 2. How's that? Much, much better. Thanks, Matt. Can you go down just a little bit? That's a little too hot for me. How's everybody doing tonight? It has been a while since I shared in the house. I'm looking forward to tonight. It's an honor to be here. Let me get my presentation up real quick. Is that me? Do we need this one? If not, I can switch out with a handset. Is that fine? How's everybody doing? It is good to be at Blazing Fire, my home church. If I need to change this, I'll just let me know, though. I could go to a handheld. Okay. And so when Brent was talking about the angels and the miracles, God spoke to me tonight about miracles happening here tonight. And the fire of God will fall in this place tonight. And that's been confirmed to me by people interceding for me today, praying over me when I got here tonight, saying the same thing God's been showing me most of the week. And today, God woke me early this morning, gave me visions of what he's going to do tonight. And so when people prayed over me when I got here, it was the same messages God was giving me. So expect great things tonight. And not because I'm sharing. Because if you never heard me speak before, raise your hand. If you never heard me share before, ever heard me. What are you going to find out tonight? If God can use me, he can use anybody. And I mean that seriously. Seriously, I am the least of the least of the least. And I'm so grateful. I just want to thank Pastor Brent and Pastor Zan, who's not here, for being my senior pastors, my friend, my mentor, my spiritual father. Suzanne's like a sister to me, who I just love dearly. I want to thank my beautiful wife, Angela, who puts up with me, does sozos on me, and it has really, really strengthened my walk with the Lord in the short 5 months we've been married. And I want to thank all my aunties that always support me wherever I go. There's my rock and support. I want to thank my sons, grandmother, who's a mom to me, and I love you, Sally, and my son's cousin, Elaine, and his auntie, Mary, and his cousin, Mark. As some of you know, my son went to be with Jesus July 3rd last year, and we were believing for his miraculous recovery, and he was believing for his miraculous recovery also. He is recovered now in heaven, and I know he's looking down on us, praying and interceding for this, and so I love you guys so much. And I'll tell you a miracle, you know, real quick, because you know, I've been divorced for a long time, and God did a healing with me and my ex-wife a long time ago. And in that process, you know, when I got married, you know, my ex-wife Lisa, who was an amazing mom to our beautiful son, and let me be a father to her second daughter, her second child. And they came to my wedding here, who were at my wedding at Blazing Fire. They came with Sally and some of the family members. And what the miracle was this, that, you know, God put me and Angela together like overnight. It was a suddenly that he put us together. God spoke to me December 20th that you're getting married this year, when Doug Addison got that word in this church. But there's nobody on the radar screen. I wasn't even thinking about nobody, seeing nobody. All of a sudden, boom, he brings Angela to my life. 9 months later, we get married. 9 months later, we got married. And that's a shocking thing to some people, but it was totally God's voice speaking to her and speaking to me. And so at my reception, you know, I met Angela's parents a couple of times. We didn't really know each other. And they were, and any parent would be there concerned, who's this guy you don't know you're marrying, that you're just kind of associated with, you know, a little bit. Who is he? And that's very understandable as any parent. But I'm going to tell you a miracle. At my reception, when my ex-mother-in-law, who's a mom to me, walked up to my new in-laws and blessed them the testimony of who I was in her life, with tears rolling down her eyes, what a blessing they were receiving to their family, were pretty much just handing me off to them. That the walls came down, and they said, "We receive you into our family." And they have loved me like their own since, huh, babe? They have just loved on me and loved me. And that's because the testimony of an ex-mother-in-law. Is that a miracle of God of healing or what? Come on. He wants to do that in all of our lives. If we just get out the way and let him work through our pain. I want to thank my good friends, Lou and Rita, who I have a lot of history with. I just love you guys. Now, before I go into, I promise not to give a long message at all, but I think it's an important message. I think it's a prophetic word, actually. But before I do that, as some of you know, I am the director of our Kingdom Training School of Supernatural Ministry. Yes, come on. Where we are raising up people to go out and do the stuff in the world that Jesus has done. This is our 6 years of, 6 year of being a ministry, but our first year of being a full-time daytime school. And it has been radically hard, radically exciting, and God has shown up in miracle ways. So I'm doing a commercial right now, real quick, if you let me, because we're 4 months into the school, and our school first year is going to start again in September of this year. We'll start year one again. So in about 2 weeks, I'll start having some propaganda on the back table to tell you about the school and what's going on. But before we go there, I want to bring up three of my students, our students, that are in the class right now, just give you a little taste of what we're doing. So I can bring up Josette, Josh, and Shirley. Come on up, guys. Let's welcome them. And I'm telling you, we're having the Holy Spirit just come in, sometimes just take over the program where we don't even stay with the curriculum sometimes. But I want to take just a brief, short couple of minutes and just share what the Lord is doing for you in the school. Let me start with Josette, okay?
Well, our school is awesome. Oh, every day is a new day, and it's amazing. So here's what I prepared for tonight. I was going to tell you a story, but then I just thought, you know, I'm just going to do this. So what if you wanted to know more and understand the Father's love deeper in your heart? What if you wanted amazing worship and third heaven encounters? What if you wanted more intimacy with Christ and get wrecked by the Holy Spirit? What if you wanted to read the Bible and other amazing books and have outrageous revelation? That's Angela's specialty. What if you had brilliant teachers and speakers imparting wisdom to you week after week? And believe me, we have a lot of amazing teachers that come in all the time. I wish they were all here right now, but Brent, Kelly, and oh, so many. What if learning how to honor your family, your friends, your leaders, and know that it would change their lives as well as yours? Because we've learned amazing things about how to honor in every way. And you will see miraculous things happen in your own family when you start to honor. Because when you're honoring other people, you're honoring yourself. And the King loves that. What if you wanted to experience everlasting friendships and have true agape love? What if you wanted breakthroughs in all the areas of your life? I don't just mean in one, because I'll tell you, we have breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And God wants that fruit. He wants to see that breakthrough, because the more breakthrough you have, the more you can give, and he just keeps raising you up. What if you just wanted freedom? Freedom, freedom. Yeah. There's a lot of freedom in our class, and it just keeps going. It's awesome. Woo, I'm getting a little wrecked up here. Thanks. Okay. And Blaine's not here tonight, is he?
No, he's at a father-daughter dance.
Ah, oh, that's precious.
Blaine is our assistant director and dean of students, one of our leaders.
So, Angela, can you stand up?
And my wife's one of our leaders also, and teachers.
She's one of our leaders. So what if you had three, and I'm talking about Lonnie and Angela and Blaine, three of the most loving and trustworthy leaders seeking out the treasures in you every day. So every day, they seek out our treasures, and they look for them, and they unwrap them every day, the gold in us. And they just keep raising us up to just be more equipped. And it is precious. So if you want this, you can have all of this, and you can have so much more. This is even nothing. This is just a minuscule of what happens every day for us. So you can have more and more and more. So what are you waiting for?
Come on.
Sign up.
Amen.
It'll be the best decision you ever made.
And another one of our leaders is Shandy, who is down in Camarillo doing ministry down there. He goes a couple of days a week and helps leaders also.
He rocks us.
This is Shirley. Let's welcome Shirley.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you. I just want to say that just the worship alone, if we would just stop at the worship, 1 hour of worshiping, sometimes it's more, it just depends on the Holy Spirit, but the worship alone is so amazing, amazing. I live in Scotts Valley, and so I drive quite a way. It takes me like an hour and a half, and every mile is worth it. And I just want to say that I have more joy. I just feel like a joy bubble, you know? And the joy just pops, and it just spreads everywhere. It's amazing, amazing. The very first week we started, we had Pastor Brent come, and our homework was looking in the mirror and saying, "Daddy, you love me." And we did it. We did it. We looked in the mirror and we stretched out our hands and said, "Daddy, you love me. Daddy, you love me." We actually, Mark in our school actually wrote a song about that. It was so amazing. I mean, just that week, we were transformed. It was so amazing because that's what it's all about. It's about Daddy's love. Daddy's love for us. And it's from that, from us knowing who we are in Daddy. Everything else, I mean, it's just a icing on the cake. When I met Angela, I had no idea what I was in for. She is so amazing, just amazing. I had no idea about what Sozo was. I had no idea about soaking. I just didn't know. I knew that I've been a Christian for 5 years, and I had quiet times, but she went deeper with me. She said, "This is it. This is it." And she just, the Holy Spirit was just so wonderfully, it's just like giving me deeper, just deeper, deeper, deeper with Daddy, deeper, knowing my Heavenly Father so much deeper. That's all I want to do is be in that secret place with him, being soaking and marinating in his love. Oh, he's so good. So we are going through God's generals. We are learning the culture of honor, loving and honoring, like Josette was saying, with our families. That comes with our families. It starts, our ministry actually starts at home, doesn't it?
Yes.
Wouldn't you all agree with that? Yeah. Walking in holiness is something that's just so amazing also. And we have great, great leaders that are anointed. They're just giant spirits. They're just amazing. Susan and Russ have talked to us about captives no more, being captives no more. Incredible. And Art and Donna was, they just amazing, talking about the presence of the Lord, just who he is and who we are in him. It's just amazing. So I just encourage you, if you're thinking about it, and even if you think it's impossible, just Ask Daddy, because he wants to give you the desires of your heart. I thought it was so impossible for me, but look where I'm at. He's so amazing. He'll work it all out for you.
All right. Well, for me, it seemed impossible to start this school as well. And all the way up until the night before, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And I even called the leaders the night before and said, you know what, I don't think I can do it. But I'm here, and the Lord brought me here. And I'm so thankful, because my life and my family's life, you've seen them running around here, we've all been completely transformed. There they are in the back. And I just wrote down a few things here. So some of the things that I've learned about in the class that have really impacted our whole family is, like they were mentioning, soaking. I didn't even know what that was before this class. Didn't know what that was. Heard people talk about it. But I learned what it was, how to do it, and how to enjoy it, and how to really dig deep. You know? I mean, talk about intimacy with the Lord. That's where it starts, right there. Visions, dreams, prophecy, even physical manifestations that you wouldn't believe. I wasn't going to say this, but I felt a 6.0 earthquake in the class, and I thought we were, like, having to run.
Well, let's say this. We had an encounter of the Holy Spirit show up in class where everybody ran to the podium because God's presence was so strong in the class. And then Josh feels this earthquake happen, but nobody else felt it.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, that's... I've never experienced stuff like that before, and my spirit is just becoming so receptive to the Holy Spirit. And I've been having a lot more dreams and visions, and not just having them, but I'm starting to understand how to translate them and how to apply them, you know, in my life and speak to people with them.
But I'll go back to that earthquake real quick.
Okay.
So that night I go home, and on the news there's a 6.7 earthquake in Eureka. Around the same time he experienced it in the class.
And a few days prior to that, I had a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, that just moved there. So, starting to put the pieces together. another thing is, we've really been hitting it hard about honor and royalty in the class. And I take that one straight home. Our family has, we've been growing exponentially, just treating each other with honor and reinforcing that we are royalty, you know. And along with that, one of the books that we're reading is Chris Valentin up from Bethel, and this is called Supernatural Ways of Royalty. And he just speaks about royalty, about who we are. And it's just a sentence, but it says, as the king's sons and daughters, we are one of the reasons why Jesus is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Talks about that in Revelation 19. Jesus is not only king over the worldly things of the earth, but he is also king over kings that co-reign with him in the kingdom of God. So we're not just his people. We are co-reigning with him. How's that for a revelation? Amen. How's that for bringing it home to the family? All right. And I've also experienced and brought home a lot of healing. There's been some physical healing. There's been emotional and spiritual healing. And, you know, there's continuous healing, too. Things that we've struggled with or I've struggled with in the past and in the present of all sorts. And, you know, the Lord, he's just showing me that, you know, every step of every way, he's always there holding my hand, holding me, you know, bringing us through everything, because all he wants is, he doesn't just want us to be obedient. He wants us to be his friends, you know?
Come on.
He wants us to not just say, Lord, you're my Lord, but he wants us to love him because he loves us, you know? Mm-hmm. And I hear that so many times, but I'm really, really starting to get that in this head and in this heart and in my spirit. Also, there have been promises and desires in my heart that I totally forgot about, and I thought they were lost, and he's renewing them. He's bringing them back to life, and he's saying, you remember what I told you? Even before I knew him, he told me things. And now he's saying, do you remember that? Yeah, we're going to start working on that now. We're bringing this into life. And also, reading the Bible, ask anybody that I grew up with, like, I have never been a big reader, but in this class, I'm a big reader. Everybody has. And reading the Bible, let me tell you, like, we're going through piece by piece and just getting revelation after revelation, and it's not just like one person's perspective. Everybody in the class has a different revelation. Every leader has a different revelation. Every speaker we listen to has a different revelation, and we all put it together to get the full revelation, and it's amazing. So I just want to thank you.
You're welcome, man.
Thank you. As a leader, this is an amazing man right here. You're an amazing man. Amazing woman. Blaine is amazing. And all of the people that have come and helped our class and spoken to us and taught us things, wow, I'm just blown away. Thank you.
So real quick, as he was talking about the Bible thing, so when I first started reading the Word, I could not get anything off of it. I just couldn't get anything off. It was like a flat piece of paper. And I would read it, you know, I'd go through the motions, read it to my kids, read their Bible. And I just never read, ever. It was like, I'm not reading them. So our beautiful Angela decides that she's going to start us reading the Word. And so the next day I'm like, that's the evil stepmother in there. She's making me read all this Word. I can't do it. I can't do it. And I'm like just pacing the floor. I was so mad at her. But the most amazing thing happened. I had a disability, a learning disability, where I couldn't comprehend. And I just feel like this is for somebody out there. So I just had this learning disability. I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't get it. So we start reading this Word. And then I start praying. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I got to do it. So I'm just going to be obedient. And pretty soon, these songs of love over my life just start pouring out. And the revelation starts pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And pretty soon, not only do I have one Bible on my bed, but now I've got five. And I'm going from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And I'm just reading them all, and I can't get enough. And it's crazy. And the books, I never read. I was like, Josh, I didn't read. I was like, okay, once in a while. But it was amazing. And my whole life got transformed. Now I'm fully a lover of the Word.
Come on. Thank you, guys. Thank you, man. Give this to you. And so some of the students are here tonight. A lot of us go to different churches. So the ones that could be here tonight are going to be part of the ministry team later as we speak out what the Lord wants to do in ministry, okay? So before I get into my message, I just want to share one more story of my life and Angela's life. Matter of fact, and I'm a blessed man with a beautiful wife inside and out. And that's a God thing. And she does bring a lot to our school. And that's just awesome. So for you single people, just keep waiting on the Lord and believing. Keep believing. If you guys, you can marry up. Trust me. Okay. So I won't say my friend's name because I know he's kind of quiet about certain things. But I want to honor him because he's here. But some months back, he invited Angela and I to a spiritual retreat. And didn't tell us whole too much about it. And we didn't know what to expect. But we know to go expecting. And we wound up at a monastery mission down in Santa Barbara for like 3.5 days or so with Catholics. Now, some of you know I was raised Catholic for 13 years, my first part of my first life. And you know, we're coming in out of the charismatic kind of stuff. And because my friend's walk with the Lord is so amazing, I knew to trust him, but would they receive us? How do you fit in? Because how many people know there's denominational walls between? Now, I love the Catholics, and God is using them powerfully. But how many know there's denominational walls? Well, this particular group, who's been together for a while, they run a school. They have a school they run for many years now, raising up spiritual directors. Well, I'm going to say it like this. There was so much love on us. They so received us. And some of the leadership want to know what we have and what can we give them. And we got to prophesy, lay hands. One time I was getting prayed for by one of the leaders, speaking in tongues and singing in tongues over me, anointing me with oil and blessing my spirit. And the spirit of joy just rolled, and happiness just rose up in me. This was an amazing weekend where God did things in the spirit realm, in our personal lives as a couple, individually. And I was so blessed to be a part of this weekend to see another part of the body of Christ raising up in the deeper things of the Lord. And so what the Lord began to speak to me was, and this is a word for 2010, I truly believe, we're going to see more boundaries between denominations drop this year. It's going to be noticed by the church, but more so by the public in 2010. More denominations will come together, whether it's the remnant or whatever it starts with, and be noticeable as they come together in public and worship the Lord their God. Because that's the time we're living in. Not only that, they're going to be boundaries dropping in people's families, where sons and daughters and parents are coming back together again for the first time after many years. I want to release that word for 2010, where boundaries are going to drop between families now, cousins, aunts, uncles, where there's been division and strife, is now going to be released this year. I want you to grab this, that's part of your family, and hold on to that promise of the Lord. Even in blazing fire, this amazing place where we come to and party and hang out and go deeper in the Lord's love, even boundaries here are going to drop this year as we learn to accept each other more and more of our differences and our appearances and our giftings and where we're just at in life. I truly, I know it sounds like a simple word, but it's really profound that the Lord is dropping boundaries because he's showing up on the scene and we need to receive that. Is that okay? Testing. I'm switching to a handheld because I can't stand in one place too long. That's fine. Okay. So to go with this message, okay? So to go with this message, I need to go back in time a little bit. When Angela and I were on our honeymoon in October, we got married September 19th. And as some of you know, 2009 was the hardest time of my life. Watching my son fight for his deliverance and healing medically and spiritually from cancer. And to watch him go to be with the Lord on July 3rd. And at the same time, the Lord is bringing an amazing woman in my life, his daughter, to be my bride at the same time. So it was the hardest year of my life, but the most amazing year of my life too. And the one thing God told me about his daughter, Angela, because she loves me more than she loves God more than she loves me. And that's what I wanted in a bride, that she would love God more than she loved me. And God reminds me from time to time, he says, she's your wife, but remember, she's my daughter first. So that's just a message for men out there. She's your bride, but she's Papa's daughter first. Okay? So we're on this honeymoon, and we're having an amazing time getting to know each other, having fun, seeing things, different kind of weather patterns in Colorado. But at nighttime, I'm missing my son. Because he'd been busy in ministry, busy in the hospital, busy in the church. I had time to sit back and just sit for a minute and begin to miss my son tremendously in the nighttime hour. And so on the day 8 of our honeymoon, we turned the TV on finally. How many know 8 stands for new beginnings? The Lord speaks very prophetically in a lot of ways. We decided to turn the TV and put on God TV. I like God TV a lot. And this guy was on the TV named Chuck Missler, who I've listened to on the radio many times. I just love his history about the Word of God, how he puts things together. And so he's on TV for an hour. I said, oh, I get to see what he looks like, first of all, and see him do his message. And at the end of his message, he started talking about journaling. I'm not a big journaler. I'm not supposed to, but I'm still trying to work that out in my life. It's especially you men need to journal what God is speaking to in your life. And I had a brand new journal with me I got for our wedding. It was a wedding gift. And so I wrote in there, I said, Papa, I have been struggling with the death and passing of Lonnie Jr. Please help me understand what I need to do. That's all I could write. I'm struggling. I'm in pain. Tell me something. So next was going to be a guy named Matt Sorger. How many heard of Matt Sorger Ministries? Amazing man of God out of the East Coast. I had the privilege of meeting Matt a few different times in life, having dinner with him a couple of times, and also was on a Mexican cruise where I was part of the prophetic team, where a couple of my friends were, a few friends from here were there. And so Matt had told me in Mexico, he says, hey man, I'm about to release my ministry on God TV. Check it out sometime. Well, that was almost 2 years ago. And I didn't get cable again until Angela came in my life, because we wanted to get God TV. And he was the next minister on God TV this night. So I wanted to see what Matt was doing. He said, how's ministry's doing? Well, anyway, he brings a guy on TV, a guest speaker named James Gall. Now, who may have heard of James Gall? James Gall is a major prophetic voice in the kingdom of God, is he not? And James began to share a message about his wife, Michael Ann, who passed away from cancer in 2008. And it was like he was speaking to me directly. I remember weeping hearing this man's message, because he was telling me things I've been going through that he went through and going through and gone through. And for a while there, he thought he could even do ministry again. And this man travels like worldwide with a huge calling on his life. He sees thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles, supernatural miracles. And so I've seen hundreds and hundreds of miracles. And there was between this tension. Seeing people heal from stage 4 cancer, seeing a leg grow right here that I pray for, seeing deaf ears open up, hundreds of miracles where God let me participate and co-labor with him, and my son has passed away from cancer. And here I was struggling. Can I go on? Now, I didn't give up on God, but I didn't know if I could go on with the healing ministry that he put on my life. And I'm in this tension between the calling of my life in reality, what I went through some months before. Can I pray for another sick person? Can I believe God would come through me and touch that life? I didn't know no more. Did I even want to anymore? Trust me, I didn't give up on God. I wasn't giving myself up by being a Christian, but I didn't know if I could do it anymore. Because it came home in a very real way. And though my son is in heaven and we will be together again one day, as a father, that does not bring you comfort when you're going through it. So I was in this tension. I'm on my honeymoon. God, help me. Help me. So James goes and talks about this. He got back into doing meetings again. He's doing this meeting, and hundreds and hundreds of people are there. And he's sitting in the front row. And sometimes when you're a speaker somewhere, in the river, in the prophetic, you do get interesting people walk up to you. And this woman he'd never seen before gave him a card. And he took the card and put it in his Bible, and that was it. Well, months later, he was crying to the Lord about, he wanted to hear from his wife before. He just wanted to hear from his wife. He just wanted to hear from her. He just wanted to hear from her. And the Lord puts on his heart to go to his Bible and pull that card out. And the card said on the front, never, never, never give up. And it struck him in his spirit and heart. He knew it was the word of the Lord that came from his wife. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, that's your message I'm releasing you right now. I want you to speak about never, never, never giving up. And it got a little crazy after that. So I'm meditating on this message. It began to speak to me about the Joseph story in Genesis, which we'll go to just a little bit later. And again, this won't be a long message, I promise. But all of a sudden, a month later, I'm pondering this message here and there, now and again. And I turn on God TV November 1st, 2009, a month later to the day. And Patricia King, how many have heard of her, is on God TV. And guess what her message is? Never, never, never give up. Based on her friendship with Michael Ann Gall. And how she dealt with her passing of cancer. Do you hear the Holy Spirit speaking? And I'm still pondering this message. I tell Angela, we get excited. She's there with me watching it. I take a couple of little notes mentally. And then, Sunday, January 3rd, 2010, Sunday, January 13th, we're watching George Lopez one night. Just saying. Okay, I mostly watch God TV, but I watch George Lopez and The Nanny sometimes. Now, Andrew said, now George Lopez in his house in the kitchen, they have this refrigerator full of magnets and pictures and papers and all this kind of stuff like a family house would normally have. And on the side, it's all covered with stuff. Andrew sees this little chalkboard, so big. It has writing on it, and the camera glanced past it once. Did you see that? I said, no. Camera came back again. Guess what the chalkboard said? Never, never, never give up. Are you hearing the word of the Lord for 2010? Come on. We need to get excited. Really. Friday, January 22nd, 2010, at 7:40 p.m., Pastor Brent sends me an email. Did you read the Elijah list from December 10th, 2009? A woman of the Elijah list released an article named Wendy Griffith saying what? Never, never, never give up. There's a prophetic word being decreed and released on earth right now that God wants to get into our spirits. Because how many know we're going through stuff? How many know the Bible says we will have trials and tribulations? But how many know we got Jesus living in us who is saying, never, never, never give up? Look at the disciples. And look at what they walked through. Now think about this. Being a Christian was a brand new thing in the time of Jesus. And they weren't the favorite people around. We're receiving them all the time. They were bucking a religious system that's been in place of power and authority for many, many, many hundreds of years. And these guys went through some stuff. Look at Paul. And guess what? They never, never, never gave up. Because something in that intimate place of being with Jesus, something changed inside of them. Something in their core value changed so drastically, they didn't care what they went through. They just wanted to release Jesus and the kingdom of God where they went. I want to talk about Joseph just a little bit in his journey. Now, those who know the Bible, Joseph is in Genesis 37. It goes through Genesis 37 through Genesis 50. I'm reading all the scriptures. We'll be here about an hour and a half reading those. Then I'll finish my message. Actually, I won't do that to you. But I'm going to read a couple of scriptures first. Genesis 37:1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the story of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with his sons of Bilhah, and I'm going to say these names wrong, so don't forgive me on that one, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. But his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. They hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream. Now how many know God speaks through dreams? Okay. So Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Sometimes God will put something in your spirit that he'll tell you, and you get so excited because you just heard from the Lord, and you know you heard from the Lord, and you go share it with somebody, even a fellow brother Christian, before you're supposed to. And sometimes people get envious and jealous of you. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. Now remember, he is 17. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Now here's a 17-year-old boy telling his older brothers that you're going to bow down to me one day. So he probably was a little, I'm assuming this, he's probably a little 17 years old. I remember being 17. I thought I was God's gift to the world, even though I wasn't serving the Lord. But I thought I was all this. I was invincible. I had it all together. And nobody could tell me nothing. And this is how I see Joseph myself, in myself. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers. and said, look, he didn't learn the first time. Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Can you almost hear the excitement, but also maybe even the arrogance? Maybe. So verse 10, so he told it to his father and his brothers. Now, he was the favorite son of his father. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I, your brothers indeed, come bow down to the earth before you? His own father rebuked him. And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Let me say this. When the Lord gives you something, you want to start talking conversation with him. See, my beginning of the walk 9 years ago when I got saved, the Lord would give these to me, and I would just run out in my zealousness and just put it out there. And my aunt can testify, I jumped in deep in many a times without knowing the wisdom of the Lord at all. And yes, I've been beat up by demons in the natural. Yes, I've been through some crazy radical stuff. Now, I'll say that Lord's protection over me, it grew me fast, but that was just protection on me. So I'm not saying just go before the Lord and ask what he's saying. When the Lord told me about Angela coming in my life, he told me, I said, Father, is it okay for me to have a friendship with this your daughter? And he says, build a friendship with my daughter based on my foundation. And I would ask him, but what does that look like? I want your perspective, not mine. And he showed me her over here and me over here. And then time would come again, enters on my heart. I say, Lord, what's this with your daughter? What is this I'm feeling? I said, can I be friends with her? He says, build a friendship with my daughter based on my foundation. And give me a vision. I said, Lord, what does that look like to you? And he showed us closer and closer. The third or fourth time he showed us getting married. And I rebuked it. And then when Angela called me, questioned me about our friendship, and she wanted me to explain this to her, what the Lord's been showing me, I wasn't going to tell her. But I told her, because she kept pressing. And he was showing her the same thing. He confirmed it. So when you get something from the Lord, you want to say, Lord, what does that look like in my life? What does that look like to you? Okay, Lord, do I have the right perspective? Am I coming from flesh or coming from the spirit? Is my heart in the right place? Is there something you want to do in my life before you release that in my life? Does that make sense? Now, when they saw him afar off, Joseph, that is, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. They wanted to kill their brother over a couple of dreams. Come on. How bad is that? Then they said to one another, look, the dreamer's coming. Here comes that dreamer who thinks he's better than we are. Let's kill him. That family has some issues. Over a couple of dreams. Come on. But come on. Let's bring that in real life. We hear that in church today. We may not want to kill somebody physically, but we kill them with our words. The Bible says out of my mouth we speak life and death. We speak blessing and curses. You have the authority to speak a life or a blessing over your brother or sister. Or somebody that's not your brother or sister yet, pre-Christians. You can actually speak death over them. And I'm not saying your words are going to kill them. That's not what I'm saying. But you can hurt their heart. You can hurt their spirit. You can hurt them so deeply and wound them. This thing is powerful. Especially if a person's already in a broken place. And you come in, you can do some major damage. Or you can bring life. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought life abundantly. My wife always says, before you respond, just breathe and think. When I work with Kathy, she sees me getting a tizzy sometimes or a customer or something. She says, okay, breathe. What that means is step back. Get God's perspective. Get out of the flesh. And get God's perspective before you make it worse than it is. So they said, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. They're going to kill their brother and tell the dad some beast ate him. They're going to lie to their father. They're going to cover their sin. In verse 20, the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit, led him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. So at least they didn't kill him, right? Now here's this. He gets two dreams from the Lord about being an authority. Immediately his family wants to kill him. They sell him into slavery. Would you start questioning the Lord about what you've heard from the Lord if that happened to you? Would you be like, Lord, did I hear you correctly? Or is that Satan coming in? Give me a false word. In Genesis 39, Joseph becomes a slave in Egypt. You know he worked for Potiphar, one of the royal military leaders that worked for Pharaoh. And Potiphar's wife, who's supposed to be this beautiful, amazing woman, starts trying to seduce Joseph. And Joseph, being the young man he is, loving the Lord, said, no, I will not sin against your husband or against my God. But Potiphar's wife wouldn't have it. I want this. And she went for it one day, and Joseph ran out of the house and left his tunic. She put his tunic off and left out the house. Sometime when sin comes, the mature thing to do is flee. Run. Sometimes the Lord will have you stand there and rebuke it. But you got to know what he's telling you to do. So Potiphar comes home, and his wife tells this big lie that Joseph tried to rape her. He sends him into prison. So he's in prison now for something he didn't do. Now let's see. He gets the word of the Lord. His brothers want to kill him. They sell him to slavery. He's been trying to rape a woman, and now he's in prison. Who wants a word from the Lord at this point? And in prison, Joseph raised above his circumstances. It became the best prisoner there was. And in prison, Joseph interprets a couple of dreams for a couple of people. And those dreams come to pass for those people's lives. One person died like Joseph said he would, and was restored back to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh has these dreams. And Pharaoh goes to all of his sorcerers and people, his witchcraft people, and says, I need to interpret my dream. And no one of his powerful, magical people can interpret his dreams. And one of the men that Joseph spoke his dream over and came to pass, who was restored back to Pharaoh, said, there's a man in prison who interprets dreams. So in verse 41, verse 37, this is Pharaoh's dream. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? This is what Pharaoh said about Joseph when Joseph interpreted his dreams. When Joseph had God's interpretation, and Joseph even told Pharaoh, he says, I'm not the one who's going to interpret your dreams, but God is. God's going to be able to interpret your dreams. And he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and Pharaoh says this. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Pharaoh saw God's spirit on him, who was not serving the real God, but false gods. It is my true impression, belief, because I've seen it in my own life, in other people's lives, and we get more and more, so much be able to see two people, one being a Christian and one being a pre-Christian, and be able to tell the difference without even knowing them. There'd be such a love coming out of their eyes, such a peace in their countenance. They might know it's God, but they say, there's something different about you. What is it? Or maybe you're just in the grocery store, and you speak to the checker, you see her name, say, Sarah, how you doing? That's a great smile you have. And she says, why, thanks. Looks like you're having a tough day. How's it going? Have some crazy customers in here. Well, you know, that's a beautiful smile. And I just think when you smile, people are blessed by that. And I only speak truth when I see it. And they light up even more. And then God might give you a little message for them. You might know something about their life all of a sudden and speak it to them. And they say, how do you know that? Well, there's a God in heaven who's your daddy who sent me to give you this message. You'd be surprised how their lives just light up with God, or how they were probably a Christian before and walked away. You'd be surprised, testimony after testimony after testimony. So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning, as wise as you. Here's this prisoner, interprets Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh sees God on his life, and now he's the wisest man he's ever met. Now, being a Pharaoh, the richest nation in the world at the time, he probably knew a lot of wise, worldly people. He says to Joseph, you shall be over my house. All of my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him all over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, and I can't pronounce it, so I'm going to pass it. And he gave him a servant, a wife, I can't pronounce, the daughter of somebody, priest of. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph went through pure hell for 13 years. We got a word of the Lord. All of hell broke loose on him. And then suddenly, overnight, he's the second in command of the richest country in the world. Come on. That is God. Only God could do that. Now, Pharaoh, Joseph had God on his life. Because what Jesus did, we have Jesus in us now. So we have the actual God himself through his son Jesus reigning through our bodies via his Holy Spirit. So what can he do through us? You wait 9 years and boom, suddenly you're married to an amazing woman. Seriously, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Never, never. What if Joseph would have gave up when his brothers wanted to kill him and ran away? What if Joseph had a bad attitude the whole time? Now, the Bible gives a blow-by-blow of his life. But it always says he rose up above the circumstances. Sometimes the wind blows and we act crazy. Oh, God, they're after me. Okay, I've done it. He waited 13 years, almost being killed, to being sold as a slave, to being accused of rape and going to prison, and second in command of the wealthiest country in the world. And guess what he got to do? When there was a famine in the land, he brought all the Israelites, all of God's children, to the land of Egypt and gave them the best land, along with his daddy. And guess what? His he went and sent for his brothers. Well, his daddy was dead, but give me that wrong. No, his daddy wasn't dead yet, right? He wasn't dead yet, good. Okay. So he brought them all down. Now he's second command of Egypt. He brings all his brothers that tried to kill him. If they're serious circumstances, reveals himself to them. And they're scared. And guess what he does? He cries. He cries. And brings them in love. They tried to kill him. They sold him in slavery. Then he was accused of rape because of their sin that started. And now he forgives them and blesses their life. You hear what I'm saying? They tried to destroy him, and he forgave them and blessed them and said, it wasn't your fault. God had to step the whole time. It wasn't a devil thing. It was a God thing. There's a message in this and forgiveness we need to get. Well, my sister called me such and such. She always had to have Thanksgiving at her house. I'm never talking to her again. Come on. I've seen that in my family. He didn't even ask them to say sorry. He cried when he saw them and revealed himself to them. He missed his brothers. That probably brought them so much freedom. In December 1st, 2009, the Elijah List, Doug Addison released this. God is protecting all that he had promised to us. How many know Doug Addison? If you don't, be here. He's coming April 19th or something. It's amazing. Another major prophetic voice out there. He says, a principle most people miss in the Bible is that when God is about to do something new in our lives, Satan will come just before to get us discouraged and to cause us to give up before the breakthrough. David gets anointed by Samuel to be king of Israel. And then he is pursued and nearly killed by Saul. Jesus received the Holy Spirit to begin his ministry on earth. And immediately, he is taken into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Saul, the Apostle Paul, has a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. And then he is greatly opposed to the point that he has to run for his life. These are just a few cases of them, themes that run throughout the entire Bible. God will often call us to something new. Then it seems that all hell breaks loose and it appears that the opposite of what we heard from God begins to happen. The fact is that the reason that God spoke to us to begin with was to strengthen us to be able to walk through the storm and to know that he is still with us no matter what it looks like. Yeah. I don't know why in the natural realm our son got healed from cancer. I've seen that so many times. But I know God was with me. I never felt his presence so closer than before. I remember being in the hallway. And I've been just, God, not sleeping and stressing and crying before and praying to the Lord. And all of a sudden, the spirit of peace fell on me. And for the first time in my son's illness, I took my eyes off myself, put my eyes on him. Because see, he was going through it, I wasn't. Now hear me now. As a parent, yes, understand. He was the one with the cancer. He was the one getting treatment. He was the one spending days in the hospital. He was the one suffering. I was not suffering. I didn't have cancer. And my eyes were on me. And when it switched, something happened. I took my eyes off me. It don't mean the pain went away, but something happened. Something shifted. God spoke to me, this is Doug again. God spoke to me that something radically new was coming to me and many people after September of this year. During the month of September, I received some incredible revelation and visitations from God. Then October, things began to look the complete opposite. I've been watching this pattern for some time now, so I was not thrown for a loop. The best way to handle this is to continue to move forward with the last thing that you heard from God and pay little attention to the distractions from Satan. New plans, strategies, ministries, gifts, anointing, miracles, businesses, and relationships are on their way. The key is to what? Not give up. There's a prophetic word being released tonight called never, never give up. It was released last year. And I think we just need to kind of grab this thing and press in what that looks like. Because everyone here has stuff, whether it's emotions, whether it's physical, financial, whatever, everybody has stuff. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It says in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes we want to say, well, God, but we want it to look like this. And that's where I had to come to a place in my life where I had to say, you know what? You're God, I'm not. And I'm okay with that. That's a hard place to go to. And sometimes it's daily. You're God, I'm not. You have the bigger picture. I don't. So help me. I remember Larry Randolph was saying on God TV one day, he said a prayer after like 6 months was, help me, help me, help me, Jesus, help me, help me, help me, help me. That's all he could say was, help me, help me, help me. He was in such a place of physical illness. He said, help me, 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 help me. That's another major prophetic voice in the body of Christ. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you, like he did with Joseph. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. 1 Kings 8:57, May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. In Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is saying never, never, never give up. It doesn't mean you have time of sadness. It doesn't mean you have times of brokenness. But it means never, never give up. Because he will see you through. He will make a way where there's no way. He was impossible, but it seems impossible. And the result of it is, if it doesn't happen here, it will happen there. But it's going to happen. Now, I'm one that believes it's going to happen here and press in for that all the time. I will always press for the supernatural of God to show up and miraculously, because we're called to do that. And there's this tension between what we see in the world, because we live in a fallen world with a lot of sin and death, and we see God's kingdom invading this place. And we're seeing it more and more and more. And I believe there will be a time, if my generation or the next, or the one after that, where they will pray for the sick and they all will be healed and restored. But I'm pressing that I will see it in my lifetime. The other night, we have a little baby. He'd run the house right now. He's 10 weeks old now, right? Puppy. A little miniature Dachshund named Samson. Needy. I love him. I think he's got my emotional makeup. So Samson likes to sleep with us. And he comes the other night just hiccuping. It's a hard hiccup for a little puppy. He's only 4 pounds. This little thing, it looks intense. So me and Angela lay hands on him, and it stops like that. Last week, we got invited down to San Jose to pray for a friend's sister, a brother, a friend's brother. And we get there, she says, you know, they're saved. Christians, they don't know the Lord like we kind of know the Lord. And all this kind of stuff we fall into, they don't know nothing about that. And we got there, and I felt this fire come in the room. And I knew it was an angel, because I took off my jacket right away. I got so hot. And me and Angela began to minister this man supernaturally. And I'm going to tell you, long story short, the man saw Jesus. Jesus spoke to him while we're ministering to him. The Lord started telling us things about his life only God knew about. The man said, how do you know these things? How do you know my legs? About his mom, about his dad, relationship with his dad. God starts supernaturally telling us things about this man's childhood that we had no way of knowing. But God spoke it to our hearts. We spoke it to him, and it was 100% accurate. To let him know that God loved him in the place he's in right now with his condition. And then we start ministering to the wife, and we got more words for her that God was telling us about her life. So can I pray for the sick? You bet. Because there's a son of mine in heaven who's cheering me on. And he will whoop my butt if I ever stopped. Now, I've been a blessed man to have a son for 17 years. And I say this, hear my heart, where a lot of people want to be a parent, never get the chance. And I was blessed to have an amazing son. When he passed, he knew. I remember his grandma said, there is no doubt he loved the Lord. Remember Sally? His walk was so evident. Did he go to church every Sunday? Nah. He didn't go. Was he in the Bible every day? No. He was a 17-year-old kid that just loved Jesus, though. Had this amazing relationship. And believed for his complete healing. And he is healed now. Not the way I wanted it. But I know he's looking down. And I don't know how that works. But I know he's there. And he's my greatest intercessor. His mom called me about a week and a half ago. And said, Lonnie, I had this dream. And she sounded so good. And I saw Lonnie in a crowd across the street or something like that. He's a little taller, a little older. But all these people just smiled at me. She said, I knew he was in a good place. And I know that was just a kiss from Papa. Let a mom know about her son. I know this because I read the scriptures now, and I know how God comes into our world through dreams and visions, and he's that real. James Gall went to that card, And he opened it up. And on the outside it says, never, never, never give up. On the inside it says, I'll always be with you. Todd, would you come up? I don't want to give a long message. I think I made the point. I think it was a very simple message. But I want to go into ministry. Because there are going to be some miraculous things happening tonight. Matter of fact, will the Kingdom Training current students that are here come up? And Angela? You know, I'm going to share something with you very personal. It's going to sound funny to you. In class the other day, Josette called me before class one night and said, hey, I just really feel we're supposed to wash feet. Now, let me say, I've had my feet washed before. And I washed feet before, right in this building. But I always had Band-Aids on my two big toes. Because I have a fungus on my two big toes. Okay? And the only people that knew about that was my wife, my current wife, my son and my daughter. So I was ashamed of and embarrassed by it. I wouldn't wear sandals. And Angela said, how do you even wear sandals at the wedding? Because we got married here and I was wearing sandals. And I said, I just did a lot of filing, a lot of polishing, and just I was so enamored of getting married to you, I couldn't think about that. So I got this class, and they're going to do the foot washing. I'm not part of the space. I'm not worried about it. Because I got this thing going on. And Blaine and just said, come on, we really want to do this. I was like, you ain't touching my feet. But I never told them why. They said, well, Lonnie, we just want to honor you and bless you and pray over you. And I said, no, you can't wash my feet because I had no Band-Aids. I go to the bathroom and cover my embarrassment. And then finally, the Spirit of the Lord moved on my heart. He said, son, let him wash your feet. This is me washing your feet. I said, but I got this. So I told Josette, I said, I don't care. I just want to bless you. And I took off my shoes and socks and I put them in that water. And they've been to anoint me with water and pray over my feet and give me an amazing prophetic word of the Lord. And then took them out, dried them off, and put lotion on them, massaged them. It felt good. Babe, it felt good. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. And that's okay. Man, I need to get some pedicures or what do you call those things? I can be very in touch with my feminine side, trust me. And the Lord showed me a healing happened that day for me. My feet didn't get miraculous, my toes didn't get miraculous healed, but I'm believing for that now. But the key was, what happened was, the miracle for me that day was, the embarrassment left my life. And I can tell you that today. That's a miracle. I'm not hiding under that shame and embarrassment no more. The reason I say this, I'm going to call some words of knowledge. And trust me, I'm not going to embarrass nobody, I promise you. For example, let me say an embarrassing thing. If the Lord said he wants to heal somebody from pornography, I'm not going to say stand up and come before the altar. I'm not going to embarrass people like that. But I'll say when the altars open up and we do a full-time ministry time, if that's something on your heart, Lord, to do, come tell one of the ministers here that you need help with that. And I'll say that if it's a man, go to a man. If it's a woman, go to a woman, okay? But I'm going to say this. The reason I told that testimony was this. The Lord really put in my heart that there's, I'm going to say it for one person, but I think it's going to be more than that in both genders. There's someone struggling with depression. It's been like a veil over you. It's been heavy lately. And I truly believe tonight's the night he's going to break that depression. Because it's not who you are. It's nothing you did. It's nothing to do with you. It's an attack to life in the pit of hell. And I just want to say, if like my toes, I was embarrassed. If you're struggling with depression, if there's a woman struggling with depression first, hear my love, which is the love of the Father. Stand up tonight. We're going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. If you're a man struggling with depression, stand up. Because we're all family. This is a safe place We all have stuff we're dealing with. Jesus, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Whoa, here it comes. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Shabba, ho, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the angels. Would you guys walk around and just touch some people with their head that's going through this? Jesus, there's just angels being released right now. Ministering angels being released. I just feel the presence of the fire of God coming in right now where angels are being released. We just break the lie of the enemy right now. We break depression in the name of Jesus. You have given your sons and daughters the mind of Christ. And I break the authority you give me. I break depression right now. I should just rewire their minds right now in the name of Jesus. Rewire their minds right now. If there's any kind of chemical imbalance, we speak balance right now in the name of Jesus. More, more. Here comes another wave. 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 Shabbat. Just get it, get it, get it, get it, get it. Even more, Lord. Even more. Somebody had knee surgery, but they never recovered all the way. Tim Kelly, you need to grab that. Where are you at? Knees. If you have a problem with your knees, I want you to stand up. Come up real quick if you can. And this is not about Lonnie Ellis at all. Trust me, I could give a rip about me being up here. But the Lord's put this on my heart. If you have knees, I want you to come line up to a straight line right here. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is totally illegal in the kingdom of God. Get in one straight line. And we're going to see knees begin to get healed tonight. And team, when you get a chance, come on back up. And I want you to begin to speak into these knees. The life of Jesus. And we speak to ligaments, tendons, muscles, blood flow in the bones. And we speak life. Right now. Holy Spirit, come. And put hands on the knees there. We'll let you put hands on the knees. And this is the fire of God right now. More, Lord. Increase your presence. And just think, guys, as you're ministering, know you don't have no catchers behind you. So if someone gets wobbly, see if you just sit them down. Actually, Matt, would you mind taking pictures? Can we get a couple of guys just to stand behind a couple of these people to catch just in case? Whoa, there it is. There it is. There it is. Speak life to these knees, Lord. Break all the restriction and tension right now in the name of Jesus. More, Lord. Shabba. If you're feeling something going on, not saying you're totally healed, but if you feel God moving on you, raise your hand for me. If you feel something happening, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. More, Lord. What are you feeling? Leg is straightening out. Come on, Lord. Let's encourage that. Lord is straightening out her leg right now. Ho! Wow. More, Lord. Somebody's behind you. It's okay. Ha! Shabbat. What you feeling, my friend?
I just feel God's presence. So.
God's presence. Well, increase that, Lord. Increase it into those knees where they're totally healed in Jesus' name. What you feeling, Troy?
The presence of God.
Increase the presence. Total healing in those knees right now. More, Lord. More. More. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. I'm going to call one more thing out, and then we'll go to a full-time ministry as you feel led. People with backs. I'm feeling the word for backs. If you got backs, give me a second line behind these people. If you have a bad back problem, back issue. Thank you, Lord. Even more. Thank you, Jesus. Give me a straight line for the back so we know who's there. I'm going to come there real quick. More for Mark, Lord. Just heal his knees right now. Knees, 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 knees. Knees, 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 knees. More, Lord. Thanks. Oh, there it is. There it is. Shabbat. Who's feeling a difference? Who's feeling a difference in their knee right now? Who's feeling something different? What are you feeling?
It feels better. We felt a pop. It popped out.
Can you do something you couldn't do before?
It feels completely normal right now.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Who's had a hand on that knee back here? What's going on?
When she put her hand on my knee, it wasn't hot. It was like she was putting a cold compress on, and it's still cool.
Knee feeling.
It feels a lot better.
We just pray for the complete healing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, just release more of your healing touch right now, the love of the Father. This row is all backs, ministers. It's all backs right now. Pray. We speak to the back right now in the name of Jesus. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Take it. Somebody's behind if you need to. Whoa, there it is. Hey, thank you, Lord. Let me speak to you. Is Lord back? Right about there somewhere? Okay. Lord, we speak to Nancy's back right now in the name of Jesus. I take my authority to the fire of God right now. I give to every vertebrae right now in supernatural healing. Even more. Loosen up. Loosen those muscles right now. Why I'm speaking this out on the microphone, because it raises up the faith as we're hearing people get healed. It creates more of an atmosphere for God to just move even more supernaturally. What are you feeling, Nancy?
Well, I'm not feeling anything, but it's been better the last couple days anyway. So
we're just going to keep believing. No pain right now. Okay. More for Henry, Lord. We speak to his back right now. More. Shabbat. Total healing in the back and the vertebrae, the skeletal of your body. Even more. Whoa. And if you're in the seats, go ahead and just pray in the spirit. More, Lord. What are you feeling?
Feels a lot better.
You got a brace on your knee?
Yeah. Just for support.
And it's feeling a lot better.
Feels a lot better.
Thank you, Lord. Even more. Increase it. What's your name?
Richie.
Lord, we thank you for Richie and the work you're doing. Total healing. We thank you for the better, but you got the heals completely. And we thank you for Richie's knee right now. In Jesus' name. More, Lord. Now, if you have a back thing going on, you feel God's presence, just raise your hand for me. You're feeling God's presence. Raise your hand high. You're feeling God's presence. Thank you, Lord. Increase your presence. Shabbat. More. More. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're glad that you're a God that heals. It's not what you do. It's who you are. It's just who you are. And I release that in this atmosphere right now. Over my young brother, I speak to his back right now. And I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Whoa! Loose. Loose, loose. Ha, there it is. Shabba. Whoa! Ha, shabba. Ra. Wow. Wow. More, Lord. Even deeper. Shabba. Wow. What's your name?
Sam.
What are you feeling, Sam?
I feel God's presence so strongly.
I just want to pray a Father's blessing over you, Sam. Is that okay? I bless the son with a father's blessing. I bless this heart.